Perek Vov, Mishnah Dalad until Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph. The Mishnah is up to discussing the last of the four types of damage, and that is Eish, fire. And after this Perek, we've actually got four more Prokim, which no longer discuss damages. The last four Prokim of Masechta discuss stealing, and the halachas involved in that. So we've got three more Mishnayos, and these three are about the fourth category, Eish. Hashleach Sabeir Biad Chei Shet of Cotton. Someone who literally sends a fire, and we're referring to someone who gives a lighting coal, which is out, but it's still glowing. He gives that to a deaf mute or a mad person or a child. These people, as we've seen through the Masechta, they haven't got enough understanding to watch over something. So if they then cause a fire with this going glowing coal, they certainly will be exempt. The question is, the fact that I gave him the coal, does that make me chayev? Says Mishnah, Potter b'dinei Odom. Technically, I am exempt when it comes to the laws of man, meaning Beis Din can't punish me. However, because it is my fault, v'chayev b'dinei Shamayim, I'm obligated by the hands of heaven, meaning Hashem will bear me responsible, even though I might not get a punishment down here. On the other hand, shilach biad pekeach, if someone gives over a glowing coal to a normal person, then hapekeach chayev. If a fire is then started from that coal, then the person who had it, the person I gave it to, he is chayev. And even though I technically was the one who caused it by giving him the glowing coal, we have an important rule, ein shliach lidvar aveira. You can't appoint a messenger to do an aveira for you. And if you do, then the person who's responsible is the person who does the aveira. He shouldn't have listened to you. And therefore, whoever you gave the coal to, he is the one who's chayev. Echad heidis or one person, we've got a scenario where one person bought the fire. Meaning, let's say he had a little match or something with a burning fire on, but it was very small and it would have gone out by itself. The echad heidis ate him. But then, someone else bought wood and lit a fire with that wood. Then Hamavis ate some chayev. The person who bought the wood is chayev because he did the last thing to create the fire. What about the other way around? Echad heidis ate him. The first person bought the wood, the echad heidis or, and then someone else bought the fire and lit the wood. Hamavis or chayev, and the person who bought the fire, i.e. the last person to start the fire and to be involved in causing the damage, chayev, he is the one who's obligated. Bo'acher v'libo. What happens if, after this has happened and the fire is now alight, bo'acher v'libo, someone else comes and fans the fire and he makes it a bigger fire, then hamelaba chayev, the person doing that becomes obligated to pay for all the damages because he is the one who did the last thing to cause the damage. Now what happens if libsa haruach, the wind fans, and this is talking about an extra strong wind, and this causes the fire to grow. In this case, the last thing which occurred to the fire to make it damage was on a person, and therefore kulam paturin. They're all exempt because we always look at the last thing that happened, and here is the wind, and therefore no one is going to be chayav to pay for the damages. Says the Mishnah, Hashleach Sabeira, someone who starts a fire, v'ochlo eats him, and it consumes wood, which belongs to someone else, say Avonim, or even stones, or Ophar, or even the earth itself. It singes it, and let's say it's just been ploughed. If you burn the ground, it requires another ploughing, which costs money. So Chayev, whoever caused that fire, will be Chayev to pay for the damages. Shalem, as the Pasuk says, Kitsete Eish, fire goes out, v'motzo kates him, and it finds thorns, v'nechal godish, and a haystack is consumed, or a comma, or standing grain, or a soder, or the field is burned. That refers to the case where the ground itself is burnt. Shalim shalim hamaves abeira. Pasuk says that whoever starts the fire will have to pay. Okay, now what happens if you start a fire in your rishus, in your domain, but ovra godesh hu gavea arba amos, went past a fence, which was at the edge of your domain, and that fence was 4 amos high. That's quite a high wall. And therefore, you've done what you can, or you've done enough in order to prevent the damage. And therefore, if even after that, the fire spreads, oidech rabim, or the fire spreads across the width of a whole public domain, which is 16 amos, which again is a long distance, a nohar, or a river. Again, all these things are usually significant barriers to stop the fire spreading. And therefore, you're not responsible. It was out of your control. Potter, you're exempt because you did what you had to do. You couldn't have expected it to travel any further. Now, the mission wants to know exactly how much you have to prevent it. Hamadlik says shalo, one who starts a fire in his own domain, kamutara hadleika, up until how much, for how far does he have to be responsible for the fire spreading? How much do you have to expect the fire to spread, and therefore he'll be chayev for that amount? Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, Omer, according to Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, Ron Eisa, Kiru, Hibenza, Base Kur, we look at it as if he is lighting the fire in the middle of a field which is the size of a base kur. A base kur is 30 sa'ah, which is a very large field, 75,000 amas squared. So you imagine that you're in the middle of that field, which means you've got about 137 amas in each direction. So according to Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, that is the distance you have to expect the fire to pass, and you'll be chayev to pay for any damages within that distance. Rabbi Eliezer says, Sheshir amos, it's much less, it's only 16 amas that you've got to worry for. Pederech Shosarabim, like the size of a Rosh Sarabim, the standard public domain is 16 amas. Why? Rabbi Akiva says, Chamishim amas, it's 50 amas. And fourth opinion, Rabbi Shimon says, you can't give a fixed amount for each case. Shalim Yisham Yisham Hamavis Abeira. The Pasuk says, yeah, the the person has to pay for starting the fire. Hakol fi adleika, it all depends on the fire. How big the fire is, how much wood there is, and each case is different, and therefore you've got to judge it per the case. Mishnah here, Maglis Agodish, someone who sets fire to someone else's haystack. Hobo Kalim, and in that haystack were hidden certain vessels and objects, a dolka, and they also were burnt. But this person didn't know that there were things inside the haystack. He thought that the whole thing was hay. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, you've got to pay even for the objects which are burnt, because he caused the damage. Rachachom say no. He thought he was just burning a haystack, and therefore, he only has to pay the value of a haystack, which is wheat or barley, whatever the haystack was made out of. We look at it as if the whole thing was made out of hay. And the reason for the Chachomim is because they read the pasuk. The Torah says, like we quoted above, the fire v'nechal godish o hakoma, if it consumes a haystack or standing grain. And the Chachom compare these two things. A standing grain, there's nothing hidden inside there. You can see what's being burnt. And therefore, just like over there you can see what's being burnt, so too when it comes to burning a haystack, you're only chayev for that which you can see. And since all you can see is hay, and it looks like a haystack full of just hay, so you only need to pay as if it were hay, or a stack of wheat or barley. Okay, what happens if you have a scenario where hoyagdi kofuslai? There was a goat which was tied to the haystack, the evet somuchlai. And there's a servant next to the haystack, and it's not tied. It could easily escape from the fire. But nischaf imay, and the slave and the goat get burnt with the haystack. Chayev, the person who caused the fire, will be obligated to pay. And listen carefully, will be obligated to pay for the goat, and obviously for the haystack, but not for the slave. The goat couldn't escape, and therefore he's definitely chayev to pay for that. Whereas the slave, he could have easily escaped, and therefore this person is not obligated to pay for his damages because it's the slave's fault for not leaving. What happens if it was other way around? Eved kofuslay. If the slave was tied to the haystack, ugdi somachlay, and the goat was next to the haystack, and it could have escaped, and they both get burnt with the haystack, potter, the person is exempt from paying anything. And the truth is, really, he should be chayev to pay for the goat, because even though it wasn't tied, and therefore it could have escaped, a goat doesn't have enough understanding to leave the fire. And therefore, in an ordinary case, he would be chayv in that case. However, over here, this person is actually chayv miso. He killed a person. And it's definitely not the slave's fault here, because he couldn't have escaped. And therefore, this person murdered the slave, and therefore he's chayv miso. He gets the death penalty, and we have a rule, kim labor drabomine. If someone does something, and through that action, he becomes chayv two punishments, he only gets the harsher one. And therefore, here, he gets killed, and he doesn't need to pay the money, because of this rule of kim labor drabomine. Now the Mishnah returns to the subject at the beginning of our Mishnah about someone who burns a haystack and finds different things inside there. Over there we had a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim, whether you have to look at it as if it's, whether you can look at it as if it's just hay, because you didn't expect to find things in there, or whether you have to pay for all the damage. That's when it comes to a haystack. However, Umoidim Chachomim, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachomim agree with Rabbi Yehuda, but Madik Zabira, if you burn a house, Shumashanim Komashav Seicha. In that case, you have to pay for the actual damage of everything which was inside the house. Shekein Derech Ben Olam Naniach Mabot. It's the normal thing for people to leave lots of things in a house. You can't expect the house to be empty or full of bricks or something, and therefore whatever value the house was and everything inside it, that is how much you have to pay for, since you have to expect people to keep things in their houses. Mishnah Vav, gates, a spark, shiotzman tachsa patish, which flies out from under a hammer. The hizik and it does damage. Chayev, the person who hit it with the hammer, is obligated to pay for the damage caused by that fire. And the chiddush of this Mishnah is that even though you might think it's indirect damage, since it was bound to happen, and really it was direct in a way, is therefore chayev to pay for the damages. Gomo shoyoton pishton, a camel which is carrying flax, which is very flammable, and it's going in a public domain. Because there's so much flax on this camel's back, part of it goes into the shop as it's passing it. And inside the shop, there's a candle, and the flax is set alight by the candle of the shopkeeper, which is inside his shop. And then this causes the entire house, the entire building, to set alight and burn. The owner of the camel is obligated to pay for the damages, because he should not have put so much flax on the camel so that part of it would go into the shop, and therefore it's his fault, so he's chayev. However, if the shopkeeper put his candle outside, and then the flax was set alight by that, then the shopkeeper is chayev to pay for the damages caused to the flax. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the candle which the shopkeeper put outside was the candle of the Chanukah, the menorah, then potter, then he is exempt from paying, because it's a mitzvah. And in fact, it's a mitzvah especially to put it below Tent Fochim, where the camel would be. And since it's a mitzvah, mitzvah, so he is not chayv for damages caused by the mitzvah. Whereas the chachom holds, no, even though he had to put the candle there, he should have watched over it and made sure that it wouldn't damage, and therefore he would be chayv according to the chachom. And very interestingly, this is one of the only places in Torah Shabbat Perili, in the Mishnah and the Gemara, where we actually mention the Yom Tov Chanukah. When it comes to Purim, there's a whole Masechta, Masechta's Megillah, but Chanukah doesn't have very much appearance in the Mishnah or the Gemara, and this is one of the only places. Perek Zayin Mishnah Aleph. The rest of the Masechta discusses no longer these four types of damages, but rather it discusses stealing and someone physically damaging another person. There are two types of stealing. One is Geneva, another is Gezela. What's the difference between the two? Geneva is when you do it secretly. Let's say you come in the middle of the night and you steal someone's thing and he doesn't know you did it. And that is the subject of our perek. Now the halach is that if he is found guilty and that he did steal it, let's say there are witnesses who see that he stole it, or who see that he had that thing, and they know that it wasn't sold to him, then his punishment is that he has to pay back double to the owner, meaning he pays back the actual item, as well as the value. So it comes out that whatever he tried to make the other person lose, that's how much he loses. Now what happens if he steals an animal, and specifically a ox or a sheep? Those are the two animals which the Torah specifies. If he steals those, and not only does he steal them, but he sells them to someone else, or he kills them, in that case, not only does he have to pay twice as much, he has to pay four or five times the value of the animal. If it's an ox, he has to pay five times. If it's a sheep, then he has to pay four times the value, as the Torah explicitly says so. So the mission tells us, Merubo midas tashlumei chifel, mimidas tashlumei abra v'chamisha. The measurement, the punishment of paying double, has more applications and is more encompassing than the punishment of paying back four or five times the amount. Why? Because the punishment of paying back double applies to something which has life or doesn't have life, whether it's an animal or even an object. But the measurement, the punishment of paying that four or five times, it only applies to an ox or a sheep. Dilemma, as the pasuk says, ki yignov ish shor oiseh, when a person steals an ox or a sheep or tavochai, and he slaughters it, or he sells it, etc., the Torah goes on to say that he has to pay back four or five times the amount. And now the mission tells us something similar with both punishments. Ein hagoniv achar aganov mashan tashlumei chayfel. Someone who steals from a thief the thing which the thief stole does not pay tashlumei chayfel, does not pay the punishment of paying double. And this is learned from the pasuk, which says, v'gunav mebeis ha'ish. And this whole thing applies if the thing was stolen from the house of the man, meaning the house of the owner of the item. And we learn from there that it applies only if you steal it from the owner himself, but not from the other person who stole it from the owner. And similarly, someone who slaughters or sells the thing which someone else stole from the owner of that thing, he does not need to pay four or five times the amount. And the reason for this is because there's no tashlumei chayfel. Like we just learned in that posuk where it says that it was stolen from the house of the owner, we learn from there that there's no tashlumei chayfel. And the rule is that if there's no tashlumei chayfel, if you don't pay double, then you don't pay four or five times the amount. Because four or five times the amount includes paying back double. Meaning, usually if someone steals and slaughters something, let's say he has to pay four times the amount. Included in that is the twice the value which he has to pay for stealing it. And then he has to pay another two for having slaughtered it. So here, where there's no tashlumei chayfel, there's not the first two, so you never have to pay for slaughtering it or selling it if there's not the first two times the value which you have to pay, i.e. the tashlumei chayfel. Again, the rule is, you only pay tashlumei abba v'chamisha if you're chayv to pay tashlumei chayfel.